بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Gruesome assassination of Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu is well known to all and sundry. All know about it. How he was attacked with a spear and then his rib cage was split. The internal organs were removed. Eyes were gouged out from the sockets. Face is disfigured. At a time when Hazrat Hamza is the only Muslim uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abbas accepted Islam openly around the 8th, just before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. But he was the only living person, living uncle, who stood at the side of Muslims, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and never flinch. Now, a person brave, standing for Islam, and the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to witness all this, it took a great toll on him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was affected, and he was contemplating to retaliate. And the verses were revealed in Aqabtum fa'aqibu. And then wala in sabartum lahu wa khairul lis-sabirin. If you have to retaliate to the extent of the injury received, but when sabartum fasbir, right? And the command for you is that you be patient. وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ وَاسْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. First, Allah Pak says, you can retaliate. But for you, O Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you must endure. وَاسْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Now, this person, the one that was responsible for this assassination, Wahshi ibn Kalb, all hear about him. So the light of Islam cannot be contained, will spread. Who can contain? Disko Allah rakhe, kon isko chakke. Allah Ta'ala wants to preserve someone, wants to spread something, can anybody contain it? A small little glory of, or reflection of the glory of Allah Ta'ala is the sun. Small, minuscule. From amongst the glorious things of Allah, it's one minuscule. But the whole world put together, can they restrain the glory of the sun? Can they? So when they can't, it's going to spread, then the light of Islam is going to spread. When it's going to spread, then it's your fortune that you are deriving from the light, from the heat, getting a direction in your life. And if you're avoiding it, then it's to your peril. So Islam is going to spread whether you like it or not. أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ. It's going to prevail, it's going to go over. لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. It's going to prevail over every other denomination. No matter how much the kuffar detest it, they detest it, they try to put all type of obstructions on the way, talk of one world order, whatever they may talk of, but whatever they can be talking about, it's the order of Allah Ta'ala that this must prevail, it will go. However you're going to suppress it, wherever you're going to suppress it, it's going to go, it's going to move. You can't suppress it. It is here of Wala Dini Kulli Walu Karihan Mushrikun. So it is your blessings that you hold to it. Come under this light, get the warmth of Islam, and get blessed. So now Islam, the word of Islam is spreading out. It's spreading out. So Wahshi also hears about the dynamics of Islam, what it is. He's impressed, he's overawed. And being an intelligent person, he wants to know about Islam, and he's getting attracted. When he's getting attracted to Islam, he's reading some literature, whatever he finds, he comes across a verse, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّذِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ مَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. To be saved, then you can't be a polytheist, you can't be joining partners in your worship, whatever you're doing, just be straight, you can't be joining. So in order to be straight, what's required? There must be some plan how you can maintain your stability and your firmness. Because the world will have all complications. If there was no complication, then would there be a trial? So there must be a complication that there is a trial. This trial right from your head, right to your toes, is going to be trials. As you go onto the road, there's going to be something that's going to be luring you. And then you have to just block your eyes. Can you see the trials? So trials will come right through. Every person is going to get through some trial. Going onto the road is something. And now, in this trial, Allah Pak is going to see وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Who is the one that is loyal? Who is the one that is allegiant? He's got the loyalty. He's faithful. Who is that person? So everything is going to be attracting, distracting you. And I say, there must be a trial. Because if there's no trial, there's no pain at all. Everybody is going to be gendered one way. No trial at all. So there's going to be trials. When there's going to be a trial, then there's going to be a path of security. How do you secure yourself? Right. So Allah does, this is His plan. Man anzala da'an illa anzala lahu dawa'an. When there was a crisis, He showed a solution. So that's the plan of Allah. It's going to be a crisis, it's going to be a problem, there will be a solution. It can't be that there's a problem and there's no solution. So there's going to be a problem, it's going to be a solution. There's going to be a sick person, there's going to be a doctor. It's going to be a little bit crucial, there's going to be a hospital. Complicated, there's a specialist. Can you see? So for everything, Allah has got a solution. He inspired the hospital, He inspired the doctor, the specialist, He inspired them. Otherwise, they couldn't have got the answers themselves. He inspired them, or do this experiment like this, and then He brings you to the right solutions. So, similar is the case here. There's going to be trials, and in the face of the trials, there's going to be solutions as well. Problems, solutions. Problems, solutions. So, in the problem, what are you supposed to be doing? That you can maintain your stability, your firmness. You're not going to shift. And Allah wants you to do it. He wants you to maintain your stability. Surah Hud, Hadith says, Shayyabatni Hud. The Surah Hud has made me old. So now, there's a whole discussion amongst the ulama, what is in Surah Hud that has made Rasulullah Pak from age up? He's aged because of Surah Hud. So some are saying no, because Allah Pak speaks about the fall of nations, starting from Nuh alayhi salam. Can you see that? Arsalna Nuhan. Then going on to Hud, Samud, Salih, Shu'aib, Musa alayhi salam. Then Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam. What 7-8 Anbiya is speaking about? They rise and how they fell. Allah Himself says how He bestowed them. مَكَّنَّاهُمْ مَا لَمْ نُمَكِّلْ لَكُمْ. We've given them such glory and power And we didn't even give you people such power, might, glory. We've given them such. We gave them the bounties. All material we give them. فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. At the end, when they didn't want to bend, we wiped them out. One shot, we wiped them out. And how long it takes Allah to wipe out? About 3 weeks ago, you must have heard that Libya, there was a flood, the dam just burst its banks, and the whole cities were wiped out. Can't find anything. Whole cities wiped out. Then you heard something on Morocco as well, major earthquake, and how many thousands are destroyed, finished. So how long it takes Allah? In just a moment. So the destruction, that ruin can come, it can come in split seconds. So, what is in that Surah Hud that brought about the ruin? One is the destruction of nations and how it came. What was their take and how they met up with destruction. You know, sometimes you see someone materially so strong. And then you think, will he ever collapse? The family will ever collapse. And then, not even 20 years and then he collapses. And sometimes, the whole thing collapses, and sometimes, mentally they are collapsing. They got everything, but mentally, there's a turmoil, collapsing, failure, can't find the satisfaction, fulfillment. There's a problem within the house, problem with the children, problem with the in-laws. So, can you see the collapse that can come? Within the house, within the wife, within the child, within everybody, is total collapse, everything just fails. But at the height of power, you felt, Man ashaddu minna quwwa, I am supreme. And then, it was just seconds before the whole thing could just collapse. Don't you see it? At the height of power, you say, Man ashaddu minna quwwa, anybody like me, I rule the place, it's my influence, I talk. I make things happen. And then, and how long it takes? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرَبْنَا. I don't think in the world today there was a person wealthy as Qarun. So much treasures, gold, silver, diamonds, what he had, like nobody had got. And then he's bent on his wrong, on his arrogance, his pride. أُتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِنِ. Me, I worked for it, I got it. I'm so smart, I'm so sharp, I got it. People advise him, not that stick of Allah that came straight away. Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilik, wala tabghil fasada fil ard. Don't go all mischief, don't know all the wrong things. Just be humble and just be kind to people. Utit wala ilmin. But he went on the negative. Fakhasafna bihi wa bidari. Allah just caused the whole thing just to collapse. Everything. Everything just to be sunken, but they swallowed it. And the lessons was, when the state of power, we say, I can do this, I can influence, I can call, I can make things happen. Right? So, you are talking about the bounties that you are enjoying, right? Your home, the food, the variety, the excitement that you go through, right? Right? Can you see how much you got? And you took all this, you're proud about what you got of the earth. And the earth says, alright, carry on. But when Allah Ta'ala commands, when He commands, what you've been enjoying over the last 70 years, in one morsel, it just swallows you. Doesn't the earth? Earth just swallows you one morsel. What you were talking about yourself and power, might, glory, influence, and one morsel, just one morsel. And your dear and near ones, they will help to get the morsel down. It means your own blood. And you worked for them, you strive for them, you sweat for them. And but then, when Allah commands, you see that command of Allah Ta'ala is is so strong, so mighty, nobody can turn away. Some non-Muslims will go and cremate. They also is gruesome. That's very gruesome. But can you see it? What he did for his people all his life, and then when Allah Pak's command came, when it was issued, then gone, khalas. See that? So that moment nobody thinks about. فَخَصَفْنَا وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. So now the question again comes is, what is in Surah Hud that made Rasulullah Pak some age? So most of the ulama kiram explain is the verse فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, remain straight. Now man is totally different, is unique in his creation, is totally unique, is different from every other creation. Just one example, simple example for us to grasp, right? Do you know of any other creation who toils so much for his sustenance as man? You know, you've got a long plan, my child, my grandchild, investment, security, cover, what to do, what not to do, right? And nights go, days go, and something not working out, you get a shock, you are really covered with anxiety, right? So any creation makes that type of fikr. But all these creations are living. Did you ever hear that the fish in the ocean died with starvation? There was a drought, and all died in starvation. Do you ever hear all that? But simultaneously, look at the ocean, look at it again from a different perspective. Is there any farm there? Any industry? Any factory? Right? Any shop? Any retailer? Any miller? Any tiller? Any university and school? Nothing. But man is yielding out millions of tons every day, and that is just getting replenished. He's pulling out and is being replenished. But do you hear of an organized community inside the water? They're moving their own ways. Did you ever hear of an organized community inside? No, nothing organized. No school, no university, no, nothing, absolutely nothing. But they're moving. Man is yielding out so much and is carrying on. So man is some unique creation. There was so much of fikr, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get married, what about her? Are you steady? Income is right. And then the children you got now, you got, you know, 5, 6 children you got. So what's going to happen? Can you see that the figure that you got? Look at it, at a hen, right? One shot, she's taking out 10. Then after 3-4 months, again another 10. And they're all running, all moving. And man was so much of figure. So man is a total unique creation of Allah Ta'ala. He is not like a column. A column, you erect it, right? It remains straight. No deviation to the right, to the left. Nothing. Standing. Because it's got no emotions. No sentiments. No feelings, right? So nothing. Nothing to move it. And now, we are loaded with emotions, sentiments, feelings, intelligence, right? So we've got a lot of things in the play. A lot of things are coming on. A lot of things are coming on. Sometimes your sentiments have the better over you. Sometimes your emotions. Sometimes your family problems have the better over you. Right? So all these things are rocking you at the same time. This is rocking you. That is rocking your family issues. Your children issues. You're being rocked. From the morning till the night, night till the morning, you're being rocked. And then the Quran says, remain straight. No deviations. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Not only straight, but as you've been commanded. And as you've been commanded means both physically and mentally, spiritually and materially, remain absolutely straight. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. At no time can you afford to have a slight deviation. Not this way, not that way. So, most ulama say that this is the verse that brought about the aging in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But fastaqim kama ubithi, I mean absolutely straight. No deviation, not to the right, not to the left, just remain straight. And la tarkunu, again it's being supported with another next verse, la tarkunu, don't deviate. And if you deviate then you will be dispatched to Jahannam. Tabassakum an-nar, fire will get you. So, the world is going to have all these trials, a lot of things are going to happen. And you can't stop it. Nobody's going to stop it. The world has got, it has to run with opposites. If there's a weak, there's a strong. If there's an intelligent person, then there's a person that is dull. Right? وَرَفَعَنَا بَعْدَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُهُمْ بَعْدًا سُخْرِيًّا. We have created this system with ranks, right? In ranks have you created people. Why have you created them in ranks? For the administration of this world. And how it works? That لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُهُمْ بَعْدًا سُخْرِيًّا, that one can command work from the other. So you are in a strong position financially, right? Right? But you need your businesses to flourish, right? So, can you run it all yourself? Or you have to have workers under you? So these people will be lower than you financially, right? Acumen-wise, they'll be lower than you. But say they were all equal, all wealth, acumen, strength, opportunities, everything, they were absolutely equal. Then could you have demanded work from them? Was it possible? We are benefiting from the brothers that come from Malawi, Maputo, right? But now, you think for yourself, they're all identical, acumen, brains, power, financial. Was there any need for them to leave their hometowns and come here? If everything was absolute, why must we leave the comfort of our hometowns, come here? Why? But now, for the administration of this earth, Allah Pak is wrong about this rank differences. Why? لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْدٌ بَعْدٌ سُخْرِيًّا. One can extract work from the other. Not to show superiority. See, the problem comes in where I feel because I've been blessed, so I am superior. Not to show that. One friend was telling me about 25, 30 years ago he went to Dubai. Dubai was still coming up at the time, 30 years ago. So some guide was just taking him for a tour. Being a Muslim, he took him to the masjid, one of the prominent masjids there. And near the masjid was a Qabristan. So you will see the Qabristan here. So he sees now, so he sees this grave here. This is grave of the wealthiest person in the whole Dubai. Prince, and there was nobody as wealthy as him. Influence, power, wealth, everything he had. And now, look at the Qudrat, next to him lies the weakest beggar of the whole Dubai. See that? So, these differences, you may just express it here, on the surface. When you go down, you're same. See that? On the surface, you are showing it, right? But when you went down, is there any difference? Exactly the same. So, that bounty of Allah Ta'ala was not for you to show off and to be proud of. No. Just now, in a few moments, you go down, and it will be same. And you will need these people here for your end. If these people are not around, who's going to dig your grave? The same people that you're despising, you will need them to dig your grave. And imagine if they were not there to dig your grave, your body will just lie there, rotting away. And your own children won't want to see your body. So you'll need these people here to dig that place and to bury you and cover you again. So see this verse, لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't even just incline slightly to these people. So we're talking about Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, and he says that ayatun fi kitabika yamna'uni anid dukhuli fi dinik. One ayat that is stopping me from entering into your deen. Now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart was a heart of compassion. Even the ocean can't compare, it is compassion. It may be showing compassion, yielding out so much, right? But the compassion of the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was far greater, no borders. Now, on the one end, this is what he did to the uncle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now this person is saying, you know what, ayatun fi kitabika tamna'uni ani dukhuli fi dinik. It's just one ayat is stopping me. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ. I've been in shirk my whole life, politics, joining partners with Allah Ta'ala. I killed, and I was involved in some things, some sensual problems, some shameful works I was involved in. And the Quran Sharif is condemning all these three. And whoever does this is falling into problems. His punishment will be multiplied. And he'll live in Jahannam in disgrace. يَخْلُطْ فِيهِ مُحَانَا. He'll live there and he'll live in Jahannam with disgrace. So now, is there any chance for me? Can you see now? So Rasulullah is really worried about the person. Is there any chance for me? So when there's compassion, then there's love, then Allah creates an exit as well. When the mother's heart is filled with love and compassion, as the child is issued, right, he comes into the world, right? Just before the child can be delivered, there's no milk. And as he's issued, the mother is filling up with compassion. And the compassion is so much that the milk just issues. Can you see that? The compassion allows the milk to shoot out. So Nabi Sallam's heart is filled with compassion and he can't hold it. Harisun alaykum. Can you see the verse of the Quran? Harisun alaykum. He's too anxious to see you going to Jannah. He doesn't want to see you going into problems. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. See, your problems are weighing heavy on him. It's your problem, but it's weighing heavy on him. An-Nabiyu awla bil minna min anfusihim. His relation to you is greater than your relationship to yourself. You like yourself, every person likes himself, right? Sickness, comfort, etc. Everybody likes for himself, doesn't he? But Rasulullah's concern for you is greater than your concern for yourself. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. So now, his heart is bursting with compassion now. What to do with this person here? And he's got this verse of the Quran Sharif, like there's no exit for him. So just then, the verse is revealed. See how it comes in. By the Qudrat of Allah, how it comes in. The milk, how it comes in. So the verse just comes in. That anxiety, that worry, that concern, that compassion. Then Allah creates an avenue. Now the next verse that comes in. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Besides polytheism, Allah wipes out every guna, every sin. That's in the hereafter. In the hereafter, as long as you were not guilty of shirk, Allah will wipe you off clean. You died in iman. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He'll wipe you out. But provided there's no shirk. So he says, I've already beat shirk. So is there any chance for me? So he's told, alright. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ. And the second thing I've got, second concern, is that the forgiveness is subject to the will of Allah Ta'ala. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So it's not a ruling across the board. It's not a general ruling. It's a ruling that is subject to the will of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala willing, will you be punished? Now I don't know whether Allah Ta'ala wills my forgiveness or not. See, my forgiveness is subject to His will. And does Allah Ta'ala will my forgiveness or not? So he's concerned now. One is I'm involved in shirk. And one is this, that it's subject to the will of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala willing, then I'll be forgiven. Now again, the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See that heart. Well, you read Durood Sharif your whole life, you can't compensate, you can't show that level of appreciation. But we will do. Not that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam requires our durood. But it's a token of appreciation. It's a sign of appreciation that we do appreciate what he's done for us. We read about him. Kitab on Sirat, Hazrat Yusuf Rahmatullahi, he became like the second Amir of the whole public work, right? He's the second Amir. So then, in his youth, as a child now, 6-7 years of age, so someone will give 5 rands, mother will give him 2 rands, 5 rands, or some uncle will give, and he will store that up. He had a box, he will store that money up. And from that time now, he was obsessed to read up all the books on the Seerat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From the young, small little age, tender, but now, any money, he said, only once I bought some mitai, some sweet meat, but I didn't waste my time, my money on that. My time or my money, I didn't waste on that. As a child, who won't crave? This chocolate here, that one there, this ice cream, this. Who won't? And then living in Delhi, Delhi is the hub, everything is found there. And then everything is attracting. Which is that, you know, there was such an overwhelming love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I would just store up that money and I'll find any good kitab on the seerat, on the lifestyle of the Sunnah of Allah, let me read it up. So, but that's now from the childhood, from the childhood. So you can imagine now what must be the activity of the house for the child to go in that direction. What was the talk, what was the discussion, what was the ambience of the house. For this little child now, innocent little child, but he said, I must just buy this thing and read up. Buy and read. Can you see that? So a lot of things go in the making up of the child. We complain about the child when he's about 15, 16. But in the makeup of the child, we worried about Brian. Time just goes in that. So we worried about that. So the child also said, no, I'll do a nice bra, father will get very happy about it. So that's our concern, our mind is consumed in that. So I'll just go and catch a nice fish. So present, hey, what a shabash, mashallah. But if the imbalance of the house is different, is about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is about the Sahaba Kiram, he wants to read in that, he wants to invest in that. And then, why would not such a person become the Amir? He's liked by one and all, the whole world talks about him. His kitab is read right throughout, Hayatul Sahaba is read throughout. You see that? This is where he invested, the seerat. So now, this heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you can see what's the fire in the heart. The fire and the concern is, iski maghfirat kis tarah se ho jaye? That's the concern. How is he going to be forgiven? Just then that verse comes. Ya ibadiyal ladheena asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Now, you must remember the house of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, right? Most of this Buzuwanadin, the poverty was self-inflicted. It wasn't like, you know, they just had to go through poverty, you know, it was self-inflicted. Because the wealth and the comforts they had, they ensured they're using it for the spreading of Islam. Like one of the activities was, seeing the people are distant from Islam now, how to get them? So they're seeing people coming in, Delhi is the center, right? They're coming in for jobs here. Like people living in the outlying area, will they come for jobs? In the city center they'll come. So people are coming into the city center for jobs, right? Now, while the family is identifying, right? This person coming for a job, right? Just come here. How much you get for the day? 200 rand. Okay. We'll pay you 200 rand. Just come and learn some deen here. So as though unki hajat ye thi, that was their need, that these people come and learn deen here. Can you see what was the activity of the house? His concern is about them, as though their learning deen is his need. So that poverty came into the house in that manner. That whatever wealth and treasure they had, spending it in this way. Until it came such a point, in the day of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, that there was starvation. So there's about over 100 students studying there. Well, I announced to them, see, I don't want any of you to starve because of me. and I give you permission, you leave and let you live in comfort now. I don't want you to start for me. And those students are so diehard and committed, they said, Mullah, we'll live with you, we'll die with you. We can't think of moving away from you. But then, what a pillar he must have been for the student to say such a thing. He could have been a weakling. He could have been such a powerful person, so firm in his values. They said, we'll live with you, we'll die with you. Come with me. We're not going to leave this place. Well, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib is about four or five years of age. There's nothing to eat. I mean, there's nothing to eat now. So, the child now, he's hungry, starving. So he took that container where they keep the atta and the flour, you know. He took that and he's scraping the walls. Normally, atta, some of it sticks on the wall, right? So he's scraping it out from the surface of the wall and made it to a paste, about to eat it. And just then Muhammad Ilyas Sahib just came out. As he appeared, when I saw this, he started crying. My child and what he's going through. Obviously, emotional attachment. He goes back into the house, cries in sajda for some time, and then he says, Inshallah, is chahar diwari mein kabhi bhook nahi aayega. Within these four walls, there will be no starvation. So, that time now, he passed away in 1942, he passed away. Almost 80 years. See that? Now the Tabligh Jamaat, that is now something that he started off, right? So, in a day nowadays, you know, if you make just a surface calculation, I think internationally, at least, right, $20 million must be spent every day. It's underrated, must be much more. But $20 million is now how much? 400 million rands, approximately, right? Because $1 is about 20 rands. So multiply 20 times. So, his work, that people of their own pockets they are coughing out, and spending 400 million rands a day. Can you see that? See that dua, that fikr, that concern. One friend, one relative of Mona from Kandla, you heard about Mona Ilyas Sahib, a very prominent person, the whole world comes to him. So, he's young now, 19, 20 years of age, and youngsters, they want some good time, you know. So, Ramzan now, let's go there. He's a sheikh of the time now, and the iftar table will be really laid out. Because people are coming from all parts, everywhere they're coming in, so the iftar tables will be really laid out nicely. Nice and thick it will be. So as he comes in now, he says, he's expecting samosas, pies, and whatever, you know, whatever you have. And now, nowadays there's no end to what type of savouries they make. So sometimes back they're telling me, AK-47. I said, what is AK-47? Well, you don't even know about that. So that's also on the menu, AK-47. So he is dreaming that I'll go to the Dastar Khan and I'll get all these things here, right? But when he comes over to the Dastar Khan, there's nothing, absolutely dry. But the only thing that's there is some wild fig, gular, they call it, right? There are namak dal karke khila do. Just add some salt and feed him. He said, hey, I was cut a light from here now. This relative is saying, I came here, I thought I'll see some good times here. But yeah, everything is dry here, nothing here. Nothing doing here. I must cut the line, but tomorrow I'm going to leave. Mwa made it out. Buzurg Adam, he made it out, okay, this is what's happening. He said, don't rush. Just only one more night, stay here, and then you can leave. The next day, what dua Allah, he must have made, Labak knows. But the place was laid out nice and thick. Biryani and the fragrance and the... That was true captivation, you know, that is worth my while coming. But you see what this people went through. What difficulty, what the house was, how homes were like. So now, Rasulullah is concerned. But I'm showing you the domestic front, what was the domestic front line. So it wasn't just that they worked, gave bayans and all that, forgot the domestic, no. And that was now a trait from the Anbiya. It's called Ibrahimu li abihi wa qawmi innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. Muhammad Islam speaks to who? To his people and to his household. Now his whole house is in shirk. One man, the whole house is in shirk. So, innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. He says, he makes his stance very clear. He says, I got nothing to do with you. With your worship and all that, I got nothing. Now, he, obviously, a person coming up in the house, so he depends upon his household to a certain extent, right? For his expenses, etc. Everything is running smoothly, that's his friends, that are his family, his folks, his town people, right? But now, the stability this Anbiya come with, they are not concerned about the whole house, nothing. Innani bara'u mimma ta'budun. I got nothing to do with your worship, these false things, I got nothing. Ulama explain, it's called Yabihi wa qawmi innani bara'u mimma ta'budun. He who is addressing his people and his household. They say now, if you are amongst the people that are soaked in wrong, right? If you are amongst the people that are soaked in wrong, in evil, then you need to clarify your status. You can't be now, be like part of the whole ambiance. You can't be. You can't be part of the whole makeup there. You can't. You need to show that I got nothing to do with this. When the whole setup is wrong, then make your status, make your position very clear. See that he's making it clear to me, I got nothing to do with this. I break away from this. Innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. I got nothing to do with it. But if Ibrahim alayhis salam did not make his status clear, then what would have been the result? He's game to this whole thing. He's party to the whole thing, right? Because he's not raising any objection to our lifestyle, to our ways. No objection. So then that means he's a party to this. He's an accomplice to this. So now the need for him to say that I break away from this altogether. I got nothing to do with it. This is what this ulama is saying. That if you are living within a community and they're involved in wrong, then you need to make your status clear. I have nothing to do with this. Right? So nobody's misconstruing you and nobody's misunderstanding you. Today we're giving the hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. Rasulullah is entering the house, right? And he sees something inappropriate, right? Something Qiraman muzawwaqan, a veil that was just used for decorating purposes. So when Rasulullah saw this, then he moved away. So it was a curtain, a veil, that was just used to decorate. Now Fatima got some worry now. Father came right to the house and he moved away. So Ali went to ask him. So it's not for a Nabi to enter such a house. It's got unnecessary decorations, type of things. So the Nabi has to make his status very, very clear. I can't just become part of the furniture and part of the whole setup here. I can't be. If I'm being part of it, then I'm showing as though I support what you are doing. I like what you are doing. But he has to make his status absolutely clear. I've got nothing to do with this. I'm moving away. Now the ulama, they extract masail from this. The masail that they extract from this, now they'll say, you go in for an invite, right? And you know in advance, it's going to be something incorrect there. When you know it in advance, that there's going to be something incorrect there, then is it right for you to get there? You know there's going to be some music, right? And nowadays, the music has been replaced with nasheeds, right? And I ask people, right, what's the difference between a nasheed and jazz music? The beat and that whole thing is going exactly the same. The only thing is here, only difference is, it's in Arabic. So our mind, or naive minds, tell us, whatever is in Arabic is kosher. What is Arabic? Now it's right. But Arabic doesn't make it right. If I saw one advertisement, pork, right? Arabic and halal. So if everything in Arabic became halal, then the pork would have been halal. Man showed, he bought the paper and he said, see the newspaper here, coming from these Gulf states, whatever it was, and there's khinzir and halal. So I asked you, that thing being converted in the Arabic language, translated, doesn't make it halal. Doesn't make it halal. So that nasheed that is being sung is sung in that musical notes that doesn't make it halal because of its Arabic. If the notes are wrong, the whole note is wrong, then this is wrongful to keep it and to sing. People got it in the namaz, they got it and it's playing away. And you can actually see sometimes people are just jiving with the music. Feet are going like that. The nasheed is going at it. So it's pure music, that thing. In Fatawa Imdadiya, Al-Mu'tamid's Fatawa, in the sixth volume, he speaks about this sung on musical notes. That is impermissible. Now, you know, we don't realize this thing. We just want a good tune to entertain our minds. So explaining them, see, my one friend, Yusuf Arbi, right? So he had a big hyper shop in Phoenix, hyper hardware. From Phoenix, all these places, is very colorful, with everything happening there. There's one whole entourage is moving of this Hare Krishnas, you know, that the type of clothing that they're wearing, that color, all that, we know about it, right? So the whole entourage is moving, and they're still singing away, right? Singing away. I heard this, and then not long after that, I went to one jalsa. He's telling me, I went to one jalsa. The tune that I heard here, and the tune that I heard in the jalsa, identical. So I asked the students, tell me, how many of you all, when you listen to one nazam, you all know what he's speaking about? So then what are you racing after? Your mind is after the tune. So the tune in that Hare Krishna, and the tune here was identical. What's the difference? Tomorrow someone will switch it off and say, I heard the same thing by the jalsa, I heard it. So you're just following the tune, nothing else. Entertaining yourself and appeasing your conscience. Now that's an error of this samana. That you want to appease our conscience. See, in this verse, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Right? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Right? Know that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins and for the Muslims, right? So these type of verses are repeated in the Quran Sharif. I'lamu, right? Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum, right? Your wife and your children can be your foes. What? Your wife and your children can be your foes. Foes mean what? It means they are an obstruction for your deen. You want to do some deeny work and they don't want to. And you go for 3 days, namaz, they make a noise. But you're going to hang around with the boys, that's alright. But you're going to jamaat, now they put a span on the work. So now, whenever Allah speaks about it, i'lamu. Then after i'lamu, there's a command. I'lamu, then there's a command. So now after i'lamu, he says, fahzaru. We didn't say now throw them out and kill them and destroy them. He says, no, just be careful. Right? They're going to be doing these things here, but what are you required to do? Fahzaru. Just be careful. You want to do something good, right? You want to buy some nice kitab, something for your deen, you want to spend some time? No. So some joy ride to Turkey, no, you must go. You all go. But something to protect and preserve your deen, that you mustn't invest in. But for that silly ride to Turkey and back, that is alright, the investment is right. See now how your mind works. So Allah says, فَحْزَرُ, be careful, that they don't become an impediment on your deen. So wherever this i'lamu comes, then following it is a command. i'lamu annama al-hayatu dunya la'ibun wala. Right? Right? That the whole world is designed to be just a play and an amusement. You look at your life, it's just sports, play and amusement. What else? Anything else? Very little reality. It's just some entertainment, sports, good food, running around here, there, everywhere. Right? Good cars, some amusement, that's all. Anything beyond that. So, Allah says, it's just play and amusement, it's just a pastime. But then, it's followed with a command, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. What the thing that you're supposed to be working towards? مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You strive towards the favors of Allah, forgiveness, Jannat. Understand what is the expand of Jannat. That is what you're supposed to be striving, that's your goal. Don't run after these things, it's just this sport and entertainment. For a short while, it's just there to amuse you. That's all. How long is it going to amuse you? Until there's some strength in your body, it's going to amuse you, right? You around 65, 70 then the fun is over then. Then now your body is giving up, take this tablet, your sugar is not right, pressure is not right, heart is not right, cancer is coming up, right? So that short duration from around 20 to 60, right? So was your playtime, 40 years. After that, you downhill. So Allah is saying, it's just a short play. And the short play shouldn't be consuming you. You have a greater goal ahead of you. What is that greater goal? مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Forgiveness and Jannah. That's what you're supposed to be striving for. So see that whenever there's إِلَمُ, it's followed by command. So similarly here, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Then, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكُ. So know, understand that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah Ta'ala. But what this command requires after that, then ask for forgiveness. Then you must introspect, look within, you know, am I wasting my time? Am I losing out on bargains, on deals hereafter? I'm losing out. So when I'm losing out, I understand I'm losing out. I must be conscious. I must be remorseful. Not just carry on like an animal. It's an animal's life. You just enjoy. يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ. Just eat and enjoy and carry on. That's an animal. So you are a human being, your intelligence is far greater. So there's high objectives. So under this hadith, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, he reports from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I try to destroy, Shaitan says, I try to destroy man through gunas, through sins. Sometimes sports, sometimes play, amusement, wrong things, going to wrong places, seeing wrong things, etc. So I try to destroy him through wrong amusement. That's the mission of Shaitan. What's the mission of Shaitan? To mislead you. You're going right, but to mislead you. That's his whole mission. So I try to destroy him with all this. That's what Shaitan says. But mankind destroys me with La ilaha illallah and Astaghfirullah. What? La ilaha illallah and Astaghfirullah. He's doing all the ulta sida things, all the upside down things he's doing. And towards the night, say, Allah, make me maaf. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He's asking Allah's forgiveness. So, whatever problems I created, he smashed it down. All the things that I made up for the day, all my cash, he smashed it off. All my earnings are lost. But he smashed me completely. So then I thought of a plan. What must I do now? Then I thought, now I need to smash him for good and once and for good. So, I'll make the wrong appear to be right. The wrong to appear to be right. So when he'll see the wrong to be right, is he going to be remorseful? Are you going to be remorseful? You ate something. Are you going to be remorseful why I ate? Because you think it to be right. So I'll make the wrong appear to be right. When the wrong is going to be appearing to be right, then there's not going to be any remorse. And in the event if someone is trying to correct him, he'll try and justify himself. See, the wrong, he'll make appear right. And if someone is trying to disprove him, he'll try to justify. No, he said this, the Mullah said this, what's wrong? Or he appears on this. So what's wrong in that? So he'll justify. And he'll appease himself. So when he's going to appease himself and justify the wrong that he's doing, will he ever show any remorse? He's not going to show any remorse. Is there going to be any tawbah? No tawbah now. He's done the wrong and he died in wrong. He's done the wrong and he died in wrong. So is there going to be any repentance? You know, one case came here. So man died, very wealthy, left a lot of things. So now, nowadays, when a person dies, then the first thing they do is they check up the phones. Because they want to see now, what's the legacy like, what's the will like, right? see the phones. So as they opened up the phone, right, they could get into the memory and see everything, whatever, right. Now they saw what they didn't want to see, they saw that. He was on porn sites, he was womanizing, doing a lot of things. Right? So when the son saw this, they actually, the body is there, they kicked the body, and said, hey, you all saw this thing out, we got nothing to do with this man here. Now if they have to go to that Kabristan, they actually spit on this grave, they say that you betrayed our mother. You betrayed her, this is what you did. She broke her back to serve you, and this is how you rewarded her. But you see how short this life is, and how you get repaid. So you do all these things here, then that's the payment. You start off one thing, press one button, seeing something, and one thing leads to the other, and you want hardcore, and then Malak al-Maut says, I got no appointment with you, that you must tell me the time that you appointed for me. Have you got a time with Malak al-Maut? No. I got a time, I'll come and strike. Whether you know about it, you don't know about it. You agree or disagree. I got my time, I'll come and do my work. Now this man he's doing this, he died by that. And now that's the end. The children kicked him, just assigned him to the hearse, we got nothing to do with this man yet. So you see his last command, wastaghfir, beg for forgiveness. So when Nabi Sam is showing that concern, now that verse is revealed, Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. You have wronged, now don't become despondent. See that how many ayats revealed, right? Learn now that verse, la taqnatu min rahmatillah, don't ever lose hope. Because, yaghfiru dhunuba jamia, without exception, Allah will forgive all gunas, all wrong. But then your forgiveness must be true. You must be sincere in your forgiveness. Now, you get a forgiveness, you're asking tawbah, you're being remorseful, but it's just a convenience thing, you know, a convenience tawbah. Like you get children coming for the imtihan, you know, examination time, and they're making dua, Allah dua, make me maaf, I won't do anything wrong again, right? But now that convenient, see, matric exam, they're making a lot of dua, istighfar, Allah will be a good person. I'm writing my board exam, Allah Pak, just see me right, I'll be a right person. As Allah Pak sees him right, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ, when Allah Pak saw him right, then nasu, they forget everything, all the promises they made then, they forgot. But when they were in the jam, they called Allah, Allah Pak, from now we'll be right. But now Allah Pak knows what's in your mind. But then too, he gives you some respite, alright, I'll see you right. But see, what a namak haram you are. That you are just there for the convenience, and the moment I saw you right, then you forgot about all the all the promises that you made, that you forgot. See? So that forgiveness, that tawbah, that repentance and remorse mustn't be an act of convenience. You know, I'm in a stuck now, I'm in a jam, therefore I'm praying to Allah, I'm begging Allah's forgiveness, I'll come a right person. No, unconditional. See, man's mind is ajeeb. Strange, very strange. Behavior is very strange. One day, about 25 years ago, I saw one youngster in the masjid, top masjid. I never come to the masjid, not Jummah, nothing. Now, he's coming regularly on namaz, and then after namaz, making dua, taking on card out, making dua from there. So I said, hey man, the Jamaat people must have done a terrific job here. This person was not in the masjid, and they brought him. Hey, too good now, man. What dua they must have made to bring such a person to the masjid, no Jummah, nothing, and here is Paban coming early, after namaz making dua, crying and all that. Then I hear, then there was a nikah, and after the nikah, everything stopped, everything finished. So that coming to the masjid, making dua, was just for the convenience. Another, I like this girl here, and she must come into my nikah. And as she came into the nikah then all the promises, everything is forgotten. So Allah doesn't want that relationship. And you also want like that relationship, right? Now if a woman got married to you, and she said, no, you must get married community and property. You know, she knows that you really loaded, right? Community and property, right? Now she got it. Now she knows all your bank balance, everything, all your details. 3 months in the marriage, and she sued for divorce. Now, What happened to all your property? So this convenience, you also don't like it. So how do you expect Allah Pak to like it? So that that tawbah, that istighfar, that remorse, sincerely, unconditional. Allah Pak.